welcome to Cangria, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we have an exciting run of news. Some of it good, some of it very good news. I do like sharing good news. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Sharing good news is nicknamed Unicorn Chasing by Shani Jardin, who got sick and tired of when Bush Jr. was first elected, 2001.
It was in 2000.
That Bush Jr. was first elected, and she got tired of bad news, so she started collecting good news on her website. Well, she shared the website with Cory Doctorow, who wrote a whole bunch of other books. But anyway, she called it unicorn chasing when you track down and share good news just to make people feel optimistic about the future. And most of the good news she could find was like tech and science, like, you know, here's a treatment for psoriasis. You know, maybe it's not an exciting cure, but, you know, psoriasis. One more disease knocked off the list of things to worry about. And that's good news.
And accidental deaths down this year.
You know, a cheaper form of solar panel. That exists now. Like some of the news is not exactly exciting, but, you know, it's good.
Yeah. Well, in many countries, there have been progressive, progressive court decisions related to LGBT rights.
Well, that's good to hear.
So, yeah, if you just ignore the United States of America, the rest of the world is doing better.
Better, yeah.
At LGBT rights. I'm not going to say it's doing well or good or anything, just better.
Doing less worse than usual. Yeah.
Compared to itself. Previously, yeah. Well, we're going to start having a conversation about what is... Interestingly, this has been...
It's so complicated.
It is complicated. So, as we've been very strong advocates for, trans rights is important. Being able to, you know, express your true identity. And we've kind of been expecting this backlash to come as folks have been advocating for trans rights. Now, let's start off with...
backlash. I'd say it's fallout. I mean, this is what is referred to as unintended consequences.
Well, no, because this is exactly what... Well, let's explain what happened.
Right, yeah.
So, in Alberta, there was a man who identifies himself, for all intents and purposes, as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the world is aware, is a cisgendered, born man, identifies as man, is masculine presenting, is a man.
Yeah.
This gentleman actually went, in Alberta, he changed his gender marker on his driver's license so that he could get cheaper insurance.
Yes.
So he has to get the gender marker on his birth certificate change. I think he was able to do that relatively easy because, of course, these things have become more easy so that trans folks are able to navigate a lot of that red tape.
Absolutely.
And then he used his birth certificate to change the gender marker on his driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it took a bit of faffing.
Yeah.
But he did it. Yep. And he did it for the sole purpose of saving $1,000 on his insurance.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yeah.
The reason why this is considered a form of backlash is because prior to a lot of the work being done to allow trans folks to align their government documentation with their gender identity, they had to be... It used to be the case in many provinces, and there still is maybe one or two of them, that you had to get a doctor's note, which meant that you had to get somebody to prove that you're mentally ill to be able to change documentation.
Well, no, you had to prove that you had gender dysphoria.
Which is a mental illness.
No, it's not. It absolutely is not.
Well, it was in the GSM.
That's fine. It doesn't mean it's a mental illness. It means it's something that has a treatment associated with it. Everything in there has a treatment. And the treatment is gender reassignment or gender reaffirming surgery. Or counseling or both.
But you have to essentially say that I am unwell.
No.
I have an illness.
No. You had to say that you are atypical in some way. Because here's the thing, all right? We know that if you want to transition, you're probably going to go on hormone treatment therapy, right? So you are born male, you're going to transition to a female. So they know they're going to be giving you either androgen blockers, estrogen, or both, okay? How much? How tall are you? How strong is your liver? There's tests that they need to do so that they know what dosage they give you. And that needs to be written down somewhere. And that's the DSM.
Let's not
it's not a mental illness.
Let's not excuse the fact that within Canada and within the provinces, trans folks were medicalized. And in order to seek treatment or change any paperwork, had to get medical doctor notes
if you
to
wanted, prove that was the well, case. Okay, so it's complicated.
Like,
if,
let's not whitewash what's
you if know, you're the looking history. For a medical intervention, which is what you're doing when you get hormone treatments or reassignment surgery, then I think getting some kind of a medical framework around that is fair. Mm-hmm. Because you do, like, as I said, you need to know, like, you know, given their height, their age, their weight, their body mass, how far away they are from puberty, how much dose of what they're going to get. That needs to be written down somewhere. Not everyone's an endocrinologist. They need to be able to look that up. So I think that if you're going to get a medical intervention, for it to be written down somewhere is fair. If you're not going to get a medical intervention, if you're just going to live as genderqueer, gender non-conforming, or if you're going to transition in all ways except the medical ways, then for it to be in the DSM, I don't necessarily think, like, if there's a footnote, like, you know, asterisk, by the way, some people don't want the medical intervention, I think that's also fine. But part of the reason why this is happening, like, there's people who are saying, you know, you can either have programming for social groups that need help. But if you do that, you need to have some kind of a filter system to keep bad actors out. And if you dismantle that system, you're going to get bad actors in. It's what's going to happen. So you can either, you know, you can give benefits to certain individuals or you don't. There's also cases in the States. There's a university where they have the grants for people of African-American descent, but you don't have to prove you're African-American. And what they're actually seeing is a lot of whites and Asians who are applying for this grant because it's also in the documentation that they're not allowed to ask. So, I mean, there's no way to do this without it being at least a little bit unfair to someone. And that's the awkward situation. You've either got to say, prove it, or you got to say, no, this is just for certain people, or it's open to everyone.
Well, I think that is exactly why trans folks, your logic there is exactly why trans folks have been feared of a backlash. Because when they were advocating for these changes to not require medical notes, the argument was, well, there's nothing stopping a pervy man changing his gender marker and going into women's washrooms, or nothing changing a man from changing his gender marker and going into women's shelters, or saving $1,100 on his car insurance.
Well, I mean, this was
and
awesome.
It was that fear, or creating that the impression of we will open the floodgates to gender being an irrelevant concept, and just imagine the horrific consequences. And broadly speaking, that's not happened.
Well, I mean,
and this is the first time that it has happened.
No, that's not the first time.
Well, the first notable time that it's happened.
First notable time it happened was 2 years ago. An individual who identified as a trans man who assaulted a bunch of people in Queen's Park in Toronto. And when he was brought in front of the courts and was asked, do you want to be tried as a man? He said, absolutely, I'm a trans man. I want to be tried as a trans man. Until he found out that men on average are convicted more strongly and for longer periods of time. And that if he were convicted for assaulting people, he would go to prison, in a men's prison, for 8 months. And his lawyer recommended that he identify as a woman and get 2 months probation instead for the same crime. So, I mean, really the thing is, like, the way to erase all this is to erase gender systems in the entire structural legal system. And then it doesn't matter if you're trans, if you're not trans, if you identify through a doctor, if you get a doctor's note, if you don't want the medical intervention, if you just want to live your life, then it won't matter, because if gender truly doesn't matter, then it's fine. Something that's come up from this is I've heard people saying, wait, saved $1,000? Because there's a lot of women I've spoken to about this story who didn't know how much more expensive car insurance is for men.
Mm-hmm. Well, men are typically the ones that get into accidents.
Okay.
You know, it's because, I mean, and I understand that. And that's sort of, well, I'm not going to, it's difficult to say, because if they wanted to remove the chance of this ever happening,
yeah,
then they would have to remove that. I mean, as it happens, it looks like he might be done for mischief, for defrauding the insurance company because it was a disingenuous claim. And you know, there's other...
But you don't want that either, because if you do that, now you have a legal precedent for the state telling you you have a disingenuous claim over your gender. You don't want that either.
When it was the insurance provider would deny service, or... It's the idea that you have to be forthright and honest in things. You can't.
But there's bad actors in the world, and if there's a loophole, that's someone also will why find there's it.
Fraud legislation. That's what, and that's exactly what they think they're going to get him on, is the fact that he essentially did this to defraud the insurance company.
But the moment they do this, they're going to set a precedence that there's such a thing as proof with regards to gender identity. And the whole fight for the past 10 years is that someone who's trans-identified shouldn't need to prove themselves. So this actually undoes some of that activism.
Well, there's only really two options here that I can see. Is one, either removing gendered insurance altogether, which is very unlikely to happen.
Mm.
Or in the rare cases where it comes up that there's the assumption someone's done it for the sole purpose of saving $1,000, taking them down with the fraud charge. You know, I think that would probably be the better approach, because effectively it was just an attempt to defraud the insurance company.
I mean, there's going to be downstream effects. Like, there's going to be unintended consequences. There's going to be... I mean, this is... Oh, what's the term? It's called a nefarious... No. Oh, I can't remember. There's a term for this.
Meh.
Where the system is set up to encourage you to do bad things. I don't remember what it's called. It's called perverse... Oh, someone at home probably knows, and they're yelling at the radio right now. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, it's sort of like how, you know, you can, if you have a part-time job, you'd make more money on welfare. You quit your job to go on welfare, so you get more money. Perverse incentive, that's what it's called. That systems should be set up to minimize perverse incentives. Because, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, the guy, I mean, he spent $80 in paperwork to save $1,000 a year, you know? And if he has to wear, you know, a kilt from now on in order to avoid being called...
Because the insurance inspectors show up. Yeah.
I've worn a kilt. They're comfortable. I mean, I would encourage him to wear a kilt from now on.
We are not encouraging folks to take advantage of legislation that's there to not just not protect or empower trans folks, but to allow them the same ease of access that everybody else has.
Yeah,
it's leveling the playing field. And, you know, this is just a perversion of that for his own gain, which, you know, bad actors, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to keep that $1,100. I think the trouble he's going to be facing is, you know, substantive enough that it may dissuade other people.
But do they know who he is?
Cause yeah, they've given him, you know, a bit of a fake name for the sake of the press as David.
Oh, okay.
But they folks do know who he is.
Because I thought this was an anonymous post on Reddit originally.
Well, I think the CBC found him and interviewed him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people know who he is.
Okay. Yeah,
he is now a known entity.
He's a known entity.
Yeah.
But I mean, the way that I see this is that so long as you have the two standard genders being treated differently and having different access to different things, and so long as you make identifying as trans an uncomplicated bureaucratic process, you're going to have people who try to find a way of taking advantage of those asymmetries. And I'm not justifying it. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm saying that this kind of thing it's been expected. Like, there's been people who've been predicting this kind of thing.
Well, trans activists have also been saying, why are we even using gender markers?
Yeah.
And I think what their argument is, you know, realistically, there should be no gender markers. And then it's a non-issue.
Right.
In fact, they won't even take Ontario health cards anymore because it's so easy to change the gender marker. It's like not a valid ID, which really irritates me.
But if it's a state-administered photo ID...
No, I know. I might try and get through Parliament security with...
There's a legal requirement that they acknowledge it. I don't know, whatever.
No, they don't accept Ontario health cards.
Yeah, but they're butts. They're all butts. This is true.
Absolutely. But no, I think even flying, I don't think you can fly on an Ontario health card either. Like, it's an unaccepted form of ID. And it relates to the gender marker because of the way, how they made it easier to change.
Right, yeah.
So trans activists have been saying for a while, you know, why are we even making this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think this insurance issue is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Where the option they have is remove gendered insurance, which all the men in the world are going, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll mean that men save $550 and women pay
or that
$550 more.
Exactly. I think splitting the difference in the middle and having the drop off happen earlier, because like men pay the same amount in insurance as women like in their mid 30s is when it finally levels off to be the same. If you have that drop off faster, like if you go 3 years with no tickets, no parking tickets, no speeding tickets, your sticker on your plate is always up to date, like it should be. The responsible driving thing should drop it off quickly, regardless, men or woman. And if you're a man who does speed and doesn't take care of your vehicle and parks in all sorts of weird locations, then yeah, your insurance should stay high. You've described a lot of men, I know. I know. Yeah. I know. Like, the system will take care of itself if you just do it that way. But
they gender it. They do. I don't know. I'm not sure what's the best way to go. Good Morning Britain got into the news very, very similar. Issue. They had some guy on talking about why it's unfair that men can't walk around topless. And it was like, you know, but daytime TV has these debates.
But they do.
And it's the idea that, like, maybe he just wants to go into and buy groceries. You know, they're going into Sobeys, the Canadian Superstore, looking at the meat aisle, you know, without a shirt on. This guy is a construction worker built like a lumberjack with tattoos all over it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And his point is, you know, I think it's unfair that it's considered socially unacceptable. He thought it was... He didn't agree that women should also have the same right, which was kind of misogynistic. And he also said that as trans people can do what they want now, he doesn't understand why he can't do what he wants. And it really... But they people can't. Are starting to have these conversations. You know, we're looking at
and even if
gender identity and gender expression, how people are expressing their gender.
Even when they come from a misguided place, every so often I hear a debate about some gendered issue or another, or some issues that's made to be gendered. And, I mean, even if it's totally cuckoo bananas, I'm happy that it's happening because people are talking about it. And there's only good that can come from that.
Yeah, there's an opportunity to learn. Anyway, let us know, should insurance be gendered? I have a feeling that all of them may agree with us here on that being the case. You can find us at Talk Cancria on Twitter and the Book of Faces. Let us know what you think, or let the station you're listening to know, and they'll pass it along. Now, we have lots of news, and some of it is Pride-related, which is kind of exciting. I'm going to start off with the not-so-good news.
You've got like 30 tabs open.
About 30 tabs open, because there's a lot of things that's happened.
We're not going to talk about 30
stories. We're not going to get through all of them, no. Okay. But I did want to talk about this one. London, Ontario.
Right.
So you talked about the protest in London. Now, the protest in London, Ontario... Mm-hmm. Was actually that roaming, I'm going to just call them the Roaming Radicals. Oh, although that sounds like a pretty cool punk rock band. But they're the
church people.
Well, we don't know if they're church people.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it says there is things about Jesus and repenting and so on their billboards.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not going to say that. I mean, we don't know enough about them. Fear to Canada Pride has kind of been keeping on top of this. The Pride's letting Fear to Canada Pride, which is the National Association of Prides, know when things like this are happening, just to get a better idea nationally. And they said this fundamentalist hate group is what they've called them.
Okay.
Appeared at Pride Ontario, and there's a fair number of them. And I think this is another example of them targeting the relatively small prides. You know, they were in Toronto. We did call them cowards for just showing up at tiny village prides.
But then they showed up in Toronto.
This is, yet again, it's just showing up at any opportunity to make a point, I suppose.
I guess.
It's not nice.
Yeah, every so often when I'm on Whisper, people tell me to repent and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and to wash myself of my sin and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just posting about things like, man...
The weather today.
Yeah, it's just that the handle that I have is I acknowledge my gayness. And I think it's actually Big Old Gay Nerd is my thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm into accurate self-descriptions. But anyway, yeah, no, every so often somebody will just message me to tell me to repent my sins. And they clearly don't know me because I have not sinned in a while.
Sins of the mind.
I don't have game. So, yeah.
No, it's so sad. Well, I think there's certainly a lot there, but we're keeping an eye on this story.
Is there any more to the story? Progress. Like, they just showed up?
Well, we haven't heard too much out of it in London, but this is...
But there's been no violence, there was no...
Relatively peaceful protest.
Okay.
You know, and I think if there was something more concerning, we would have heard about it.
So not great, but we've seen worse. Not that makes it
not
okay.
Not for a while. Yeah. I think this is the first time, you know, that we've seen fundamentalist protest...
Yeah.
A pride parade for a long time.
It's like saying, you know, being stung by a bee isn't so bad because you could have been eaten by a crocodile. Well, no, being stung by a bee is still pretty bad. I mean, thank you for putting it into context. I mean, that's great. But, you know, being stung by a bee is still pretty bad.
I was kind of excited to find out that Boy George has put out a new track of the Culture Club.
Uh-huh.
Of Chameleon fame.
Uh-huh.
That Boy George and the Culture Club.
And also War is Stupid. It is the worst song that any band ever made in the 80s. And it's the 80s. So that's saying a lot.
That's lowering the bar.
Really is.
Well, Boy George and the Country Club's Let Somebody Love You is making its way onto the radio right now.
Oh.
And we'll be back just after this.
I am a poet in New York City. You can see your face in my shoes. I'm young and I'm alive. I've got nothing to lose. Dream a book, a lie, a kiss. So much to resist, and then I find you. I am fire, you are water. Nothing we can do. I walk into a room and light your fuse. Love is revolution. It up with a smile, say, sing it again. Dream a book, a lie, a kiss. So much to resist, and then I find you. I am fire, you are water. Nothing we can do. I walk into the room and light your fuse. Love is revolution. Got a boy or a girl in your head? Could it be something I did or something you said? Live and direct, got a boy or a girl in your head? When the two sevens come together, I'm gonna love you forever and ever. I'm fire, you are water. Nothing we can do.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. 40 years is how long Moose Jaw Pride has been going, which is pretty impressive.
Okay.
And so this year they celebrated their 40th anniversary. It looks like it was a heck of a ball.
The Pride movement in general, I think, is like 47 years or something like that. So, I mean, that actually means that Moose Jaw was an early adapter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of two flavors of Pride across Canada.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the early ones, like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Ottawa, Moose Jaw, apparently.
Apparently. I mean, you know what they say. Something's got to have happened in Moose Jaw.
What's really neat about Moose Jaw is actually Moose Jaw's pride.
Right.
And as in the organization. Now, Ottawa's pride, which you pointed out a couple of weeks ago, is famous for bankruptcy and...
misappropriation?
And allegations of misappropriation.
Yeah. Although they've been doing very well over the past 3 years.
It's a different day because of the bankruptcy.
Yes.
But yeah, no, they seem to have learned from that epic...
By replacing everyone with someone new.
The whole thing. They literally took it outside, hosed it down, and brought it back. Moose Jaw Pride actually has they have an office space.
Okay.
Which for a pride is crazy.
Yeah.
I know. Office space. Anyway, but they're located on Main Street in Moose Jaw.
What's the business rent like in Moose Jaw, though? It may not be...
But here's the bit that'll make you go, wow. Like, what's his face? That American actor. Wow.
Owen Wilson,
yeah.
Wow.
Although
I love the one where they took the Star Wars and they replaced all the lightsaber sounds with him going, wow. I don't know if you've seen that. You should look that up.
They have a thrift shop.
Right, okay.
Like, attached to their office space. Where they sell clothing, it's not really organized by gender, it's all sort of, there's like a lot of androgynous clothing in there, it's a super queer-friendly space.
Well, there's a picture right here, and it seems to be exclusively organized by size.
And that's actually how they make their money. Hmm. They are fully supported by the thrift shop.
Okay.
And donations. So it's the Rainbow Retro is the name of it, and apparently it's a very popular one. Now, in Ontario, one of the only thrift shops that you'll ever find is Value Village, which is actually an American corporation.
It's a corporate entity, yeah. Which
just blows my mind that people are handing over free stock to an American corporation that occasionally donates to diabetes.
Yeah.
It's like, in the UK... I don't know if you knew this, people, but I'm British. And in the UK, the high street has often lots of charities. Mm-hmm. So Save the Children runs a thrift store. Rainbow Retro, pretty cool idea. I also like the fact that their pride in Moose Jaw was like, you know what? There is a need in our community for a space for people to go shopping and get their stuff and share things with each other.
Yeah.
Sharing clothing swaps is a very... queer thing.
Yeah.
Like, you see them all over the place with, like...
Well, they're coming back. They used to be a big thing, and then they disappeared for a while, and now they're coming back. And I also like it because it's not a political space. So if you're politically active, if you're not politically active, you know, you're going to feel equally comfortable in that space because, I mean, there's a lot of service centers here in Ottawa where you and I have mutual friends who went there once and were like, this is not for me. It's not that I disagree with the politics. It's just that I'm not political. And I just want to talk about Avatar The Last Airbender, and they're not interested in... So, I mean, it's a thing.
I remember I was in one service center once, and there was a great discussion about the fact that we can't mention pine cones.
What?
There was a ban on discussing pine cones.
By whom?
By the service center, because somebody was triggered by it.
Okay.
And that was really the height of sort of... the community trigger warning enthusiasm. And then it went into content warnings and people started to take the fact that, you know, it is a language associated with PTSD recovery and it became taken more seriously. But for a while they were like, don't say pine cones. And people were like, what to the actual heck? I mean, also that doesn't really come up in conversation.
Yeah.
But they banned it.
I believe.
So we are quite excited that the folks over in Kelowna in BC, they have their pride coming up pretty soon. Kelowna it's happening.
Okay.
We go out, I think, the same week as their pride or around the same time.
Okay.
So have a great pride, everybody. quite exciting. Now, last week we talked a lot about the tongue-tied event in Vancouver that happened now. So we heard it was a great success for those amazing artists that we were promoting. But there's been lots going on that we haven't really mentioned, and this is kind of speaking to the good news. So in Stephenville, in Newfoundland, they put a pride crossing.
Stephenville or Stephenville?
Stephenville, maybe? Stephenville? Stephenville?
Stephenville.
I don't think it's Stephenville.
Oh, it is Stephenville. Okay.
Stephenville. I think you're right with Stephenville. He is not impressed by that. They put up one. St. John, New Brunswick also put up a rainbow crosswalk, which is quite exciting. That's a beautiful piece. Actually, I've been there where this crosswalk is. It's at the bottom of the hill.
St. John without the S.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think St. John's is in Newfoundland. Very exciting to see these little crosswalks popping up all over the place.
Right.
Very, very nice. Let us know if your little town or village or city has a rainbow crosswalk. Now, did you know that, and it will be of no interest to you, but I think, you know, for our listeners, they're going to be like, that you could go and have lunch with Justin Trudeau, but for me, the biggest draw is Anthony from Queer Eye, the Netflix special show.
Okay.
Because Anthony is actually from Montreal. And at Montreal Pride, he'll be doing an exclusive brunch with various guests.
Like the winner and of the lottery?
And Justin Trudeau. No, you have to pay for it. Which, it's picked up a lot of press. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, weren't they done for a pay-for-play scandal? Like, wasn't it a big backlash against the Liberal Party selling $500 plates at fundraisers? And
I mean, if it's the Liberals running it, then it's a scandal. If it's somebody else running it,
it is. This dinner is being organized by the Liberal Party of Canada. Yeah,
no bueno.
And it's like, isn't this exactly the thing that there was a whole
that got them in trouble?
Oh, no.
You see, this is why what you do is you get another organization to run the event, and then they keep half and donate the other half to the Liberals. I mean, covering your tracks is not hard.
Ask Trump.
It's. I mean, the system is partly built by the people who want to leave loopholes for themselves to get away with this kind of thing. Just ask somebody, how do I get away with this? Ugh. Again, not that I'm endorsing it. I'm just saying people are going to do it. Oh, he's cute. Who's that?
Yeah. Sorry, it wasn't 40 years in Moose Jaw. It was 25 years in Moose Jaw.
Oh, okay.
The other site that we were looking at, we actually have several sites looking at Moose Jaw Pride. Big news, apparently.
Okay.
Everyone's talking about it. It was a good time.
Okay.
But 25 years in Moose Jaw, all not right. 40. So I do issue that immediate correction there.
That's 92 is when they started.
Yeah. Okay. 1993.
Okay.
Now, there has been quite a bit of news around HIV. And I think what we'll do is we'll start this conversation just after the next song. As we pick up some of the story there. But the next song we're going to play is...
You Tell Me! That's not the name of the song. I'm actually asking him to...
No, it's Bedouin Soundclash. I really like Bedouin Soundclash. I actually really like their 2007 album, I think. And didn't hear much from them, but they have like a reggae vibe. They're from Hamilton area or something.
They are kind of intolerable hipsters, but that's also my people, so that's a compliment. but I'm into them. Yeah,
but they had a surprising vibe. I thought that they were either like Caribbean or British, because there's a lot of reggae out of Britain. But no, it was southwestern Ontario that they came out of.
It depends on the album. Sometimes they have more of like an 80s punk feel. I mean, it depends.
So this one isn't quite as reggae as previous songs. And this is one of the latest tracks. This is They Gutted the City. I believe it's about Toronto. And we'll be back just after this. Just a quick note. I don't believe anyone on this band is gay identified. But it really fit in quite nicely with the new Boy George song, and he's gay enough for two people, so let's...
And this is Canadian content, and it is not a Jefferson Airplane reference.
We'll be back just after this. We'll be right back. welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media.
Hello, and welcome back to CanQueer,
home of Canada's
queer media.
My name is Sebastian. And I'm Nate. Now, I actually misspoke because I looked into it when I was like, this is exactly what the liberals got done for. Well, it isn't, because it's not anybody that donates quite a substantial sum to the Liberal Party who gets a seat.
Right.
I misread the website. I went to the Liberal website and I was like, what?
Yeah.
You don't actually get a seat. I think it's 250 is what they're looking for. And you don't, but you get entered to win.
250 to win?
To enter to win.
Yeah.
And the winner wins. There's two of them.
Okay.
The brunch with Trudeau and Anthony.
Okay.
I mean, if it's that exclusive, I mean, that's kind of cool.
Okay.
And accommodations, travel to Montreal, and some Liberal Party swag.
If you already live there, that'd be such a...
I know, so disappointing. Yeah. I got an email from Ottawa Pride being like, win travel to Ottawa. And I was like, that's like a bus pass to get across town. Yeah. Like, that's not very good.
Even worse would be if the accommodations you win are not as nice as your apartment and further from the venue.
So anyway, this is just to say that the Liberal Party fundraiser is a fundraiser where you have the chance to win a seat at a brunch with Anthony from Queer Eye and with Justin Trudeau.
Is that better?
Chick-fil-A is coming to Toronto.
Right.
Much to the chagrin of Toronto.
And food standards. And I suspect Chick-fil-A is not going to get far in Southern Ontario either. I mean, it's inevitable. It's good marketing. Of course, you're going to expand across the border. If you're going to go international at all as an American company, start with Canada and see how it goes.
Well, except for the fact, and the reason why we're like, girl, Chick-fil-A, is because the CEO of Chick-fil-A has on many occasions said that Chick-fil-A is a big advocate of religious liberty, and everyone's thinking, oh, okay, that's fine, except for the fact that they donate heavily to gay conversion therapy.
Yeah.
They donate or have been tied to donations that fight gay rights and various causes.
And it's one of those things. It is possible to be pro-religion without being anti-gay and trans.
That's not what Chick-fil-A is.
Yeah, no, this is both. So it's,
anyway, so the reaction so far to this announcement has been a lot of Torontonians going, just a friendly reminder, Canadians who have a hankering for chicken, that Toronto has an incredible wide array of amazing locally owned and operated chicken venues. With, like, chicken that's not battery farmed out of the States.
And Swiss Chalet is a Canadian corporation.
Swiss Chalet is also
It's usually
thing.
Old people when you go there, but I chalk that up to the fact that old people know a deal when they see it. If you go to a restaurant and it's mostly old people, chances are there's a good deal going on.
Or good chicken.
Or, I mean, if you see a lot of French Canadians, there's probably good chicken, because French Canadians love their poulet rôti.
I don't know, like Saint-Hubert? I mean, that's a bit hit and miss.
It is very hit and miss. It's not so great. I'd rather go to a Nando's.
I mean, we've just listed several options that are also all chains.
Nando's is South
and
none African.
Of them, and none of them are donating heavily, as far as we're aware, to conversion therapy camps.
Right.
Now, and this is part of the problem, is that the criticism is that they're going to come into the Toronto market, take a lot of money off the business in Toronto, add competition to these local chicken companies, and move the profits to the States, where they get promptly donated to anti-gay initiatives. Except what I think will actually happen is we're going to have a Starbucks in Australia scenario, where Starbucks rolled out massively in Australia, and the Australians were like, I don't know, like, I prefer my cafe. And we're not really, how they do chicken and how they operate is different,
I think,
from how Canadians work.
A better
and
example
that's
would be
why
when Starbucks
is
went
no,
to Italy.
No, that's why there's no Starbucks in Australia, because it just massively failed. They misjudged the market and they just couldn't compete with the local options.
I mean,
and I think we'll see the same thing here in Toronto.
I still
and
think
elsewhere.
Starbucks in Italy is a better example. Because there's like three Starbucks in the entire country, and it's like in Rome across from the Colosseum, in Rome across from...
Well, it's tourists, Vatican. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Because Italians are like, why would I get that garbage when my uncle, who owns a patisserie down the street makes amazing coffee. Who would, yeah, no, it's...
And that's, so the Italian example happened after Australia, but it's the same argument of they just misjudged the market entirely.
And there's so many weirdly cheap experimental fusion restaurants all over Toronto. Mm-hmm. There's a place that my brother likes that their specialty, every item on the menu is maple smoked something.
Ooh.
It's maple wood and maple syrup, smoked ribs, smoked steak, smoked chicken. Do they smoke
chickens?
They do smoke chicken.
And where is it?
It's in it's Queen Street East.
Okay.
I believe. It's over the bridge with the light rail that goes underneath. I can't remember the area, but it's not quite as far as the beach is, but it's east of church.
Well, we just want to let everybody know that this week's show is brought to you by Maple Hen, which can be found at 264 Church Street East. And it's, no, that's not, I made those details up.
You made it up, yeah. It's not called Maple, it's called like the Smokery or something bland.
I don't know, I jumped.
But seriously, no, if you live in Toronto, you can throw a stone.
And hit a good chicken place.
And hit a good restaurant of any kind. Absolutely. With like a five-star chef who's just like...
So
make it ends meet.
It's interesting because people are like, you know, shall we protest it? I mean, people are going to just boycott it because it's not very good fast food as well.
Buy better chicken.
I know.
You don't need to, I mean, technically
I think
that
really
is a
any chicken would be better chicken, would it? I don't know. I haven't tried Chick-fil-A yet.
KFC,
I don't think I would give them my money.
When you peel off the magic shell,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got that like extra white chicken underneath that's so tender, and then you eat the like crispy shell separately because it's delicious, but why, I don't know why you'd eat them at the same time. You gotta like pull them apart. It's like an insect where like you pull off the carapace.
You're not really, this is, you're not making this an appetizing discussion.
But I mean, it's KFC, so it's an apt comparison. Like when you pull the shell off an insect.
I feel like all of our listeners are like diverting from what they're doing, heading to the nearest chicken joint. I'm getting hungry with this conversation.
I mean, I'm always up for chicken. Let's go for chicken after this. What are you doing after this?
I'm going to get chicken.
All right, let's go get chicken.
So I wanted to mention briefly that in the US, there was backlash to the New York Times, who had a cartoon about Trump and Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this happened a little while ago. We're a little bit slow on talking about this. But what really annoyed me was after all this backlash.
Yeah.
And the backlash being is that by making fun of Trump and Putin in a gay relationship cartoon, it implies that it's something hilarious, that being gay is a hilarious thing, that it's the butt of the joke, that they're in the gay relationship. And then the Toronto Star did exactly that.
Okay.
Like, even after the backlash to the New York Times, like, either they just didn't know, or they're tone deaf, or it's just, it beggars belief that they would make the same mistake as somebody else within days, you know?
I mean, there isn't a single media organization that has not annoyed me in some way over the past 5 years. Except for local radio. And because local radio does not have millions of dollars behind them, so I can't fault them. When I hear a story that's wrong on local radio, I go, well, you know, they're local radio. They're doing their best, right? These guys, they have... You know, HR, they've got PR, they've got, you know, they got experts, they got focus groups and blah, 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 and they're getting it wrong. That's not so great. And the other one is French. I'm sorry, but RDI is my go-to source because they do very tempered, measured. They'll do a story and they'll be like, well, clearly this shows that Russia is going to blow up the world. And you have somebody else come on and say, no, that's probably not what that means. It's probably a little bit more modest than that. I like that sober second thought that you don't see in the news anymore.
Sometimes you see it. Depends on what you're looking at.
It's true. It's really weird. The Guardian, sometimes you're like, oh, that's nice. And other times you read Guardian articles and you're like, who hired you? You know what I'm saying.
So speaking of sober second thought, that did not happen when Doug Ford made his decision about Toronto. Now,
I mean,
every Tom, Dick and Harry is talking about the fact that he's slashing Toronto's number of councillors from 47, which is a lot of councillors.
It is a lot of councillors.
To 26 or 27?
It used to be seven, I think, cities.
But when you bear in mind that Ottawa,
of
900,000 people, has 24 councillors, and he said, well, Ottawa's so big, it needs that many. It's like, what?
Well, we're physically large because there's a lot of countryside in Ottawa, and it takes like 2 hours to drive.
We are the largest agricultural city in North America, as in we're the largest city where within the city limits we have the most agriculture.
Farmland, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
The fact that there's also a farm in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
I mean...
But it was like 18
weirdly, communities farmers markets together. Are still ridiculously expensive.
Hard to find as well.
I know. Yeah. It's an outrage. Anyway, back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Which...
But they used to be like seven cities, so they had so many councillors because they just inherited all of them. And yeah, they probably did need to trim it down, but 27?
26 or 27, I forget exactly how
many.
For
the entire metropolitan area.
Yeah.
No, that's...
Yeah. It's too far the other way.
Yeah.
The mayor is not happy about it. There's lots of folks unhappy about it. And one of the biggest complaints is that with fewer seats, specifically in the core... It'll lead to less diverse representation at council.
Right.
And in fact, it is the Toronto City Centre councillor, Christine Wong Tam, who has really flagged this up herself and many others. Christine Wong Tam is of Asian descent, right. is openly out, is actually the councillor for the Church and Wesley area, very prominent in sort of council politics down in Toronto, but also very prominent within the community and a good representation of that community. We've covered other stories out of Toronto, and Kristen Wong Tam is very prominent in being involved with the community element of those stories.
Okay.
So it does a good job. Anyway, her point is that it'll have a major impact on representation. She's the only out councillor at the moment, as is, which isn't great. But yeah, it's very concerning. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that they'll see less representation?
Well, I mean, it depends on what kind of representation you're looking for. So the suburbs in Toronto are actually incredibly diverse. So a lot of the... like engineers and doctors and anyone who immigrates to Canada who has any kind of technical expertise, they tend to end up in the suburbs of Toronto. So Brantford is increasingly predominantly Sikh, Muslim, and Hindu. So it's kind of like a little, you know, India, Afghanistan, Pakistan corridor kind of like plucked, you know, right north of Toronto. And then you've got like Chinatown. Like it's... The suburbs are very diverse in terms of if you're looking at ethnic diversity, but if you're looking at socioeconomic class, the suburbs are very homogenous.
Yeah.
Whereas you get way more diversity in terms of class when you go into the Toronto City Centre. If you're looking at sexual diversity, you're going to get way more...
Well, this is actually what I'm quite happy with the article done by, I think it's Ashley Mann in Daily Extra, is... The research he did was really interesting. There was the first person who was gay to run was in 1980.
Right.
Didn't win. And then Mayor John Sewell was lost after he was shown as being too cozy to the gay community.
Right.
So he was politically toxic. And then Kyle Rae was elected, which was quite good. But he was then the only gay person. And that was 1990 was when he was elected as councillor. And then he was the only gay person until he retired in 2010, when the only gay person became Councillor Wong Tam, who ran against the other only gay person running for the exact same seat, which was the seat that the previously gay person had vacated.
Well,
so in Toronto City Council, in 30, 40 years, there's only been a homo on the entire council in one seat. So by combining those seats together with other seats, I think the argument that the odds of somebody gay being elected will go down is a pretty fair guess, given that their track record is so abysmal.
I mean, I think that's bad, but I don't think that's quite as nefarious as the fact that the last kind of diversity that I was going to mention is the critical one, and that is that people who live in the suburbs tend to be conservative. They tend to be right of center, and if the candidate is good enough, they might vote Liberal. And that's basically the suburbs in general. And if you take the core and smush it together, what you're going to do is you're going to get the city council from now until the end of time is going to be voting just right of center, and if the argument is right enough, they might argue to the left, whereas the sort of progressive voices will just be cut out. and it's going to unbalance everything, and city council is basically just going to be, it's going to lean conservative from now on.
And well, that's absolutely true. And I think what, if you look at who's, because they're in the race right now.
Yeah.
That's the other complaint. We're in the middle of the election. Well, the start of the election.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you look at who's openly gay, and there's now more than one of them running, which is a nice relief. If you look at where they all are, they are all running for three or four different ridings, which are all going to get smooshed into one.
Okay.
So it will, you know, there's a potential of, you know, going to two or three or maybe even four openly gay representatives and a diverse range of people to maybe one. And it would be just for that centre Church and Wellesley riding. You know, it's the proof is in the pudding that this change will decrease representation.
It'll decrease diversity on many fronts. The other thing you could say is that, you know, Church Street is collapsing under the cost of condominiums anyway. So really what they should do is just, you know, all the openly out, you know, homos and trans people should move out to Vaughan or something and start like some other small community where they can actually afford to live there and buy, I don't know, apartments and like be able to live there and parking spot, you know.
Oh my gosh, you're talking real luxuries now,
right?
Parking spot. Oh well, let us know what you think. Do you think that the plan to cut councillors would actually decrease the potential of representation? We think it will, and there's serious consequences to that. It creates a democratic deficit.
I mean, I'm not denying that the number of councillors they currently have might be a bit much, but split the difference. Like 36, 38, something?
I think there's also issues with the way the map's being drawn.
Oh, are they...
Well, no, they're not gerrymandering. They're using the provincial and the federal map, which is fine.
Okay.
But that doesn't really account for the fact that folks are sort of clustered in neighbourhoods within those ridings. Let us know what you think, but we have run out of time.
People's just gonna like tweet us with
shrug face emoji.
Shrug emoji has actually become one of my favorites.
It's so true.
That and the thinking one with the guy stroking his chin, those are my favorites.
Well, we have, like I said, run out of time. We're playing out with the Peptides, Don't Believe in Love. Like I said, it ties into the theme. And some of the folks on that band are definitely gay.
Oh, yes.
We met them, and I think they told us. This is just a great song. We've played them before. Check them out. They're just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the B-52s.
Except with less of a surf vibe and more of a blues vibe.
This is true. Yeah. Anyway, let us know what you think. This is Don't Believe in Love by the Peptides.
Thank you for listening.